And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
This is what it would look like if an Australian person was ordering Starbucks and then they ran out of cold brew.
Hey, welcome to Starbucks. What can I get for you today?
Yeah, could I get a cold brew?
We're actually out of cold brew today. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. No.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, February 17th. We're back here in the Classic Factory. I'm Jay Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
You are still electric, my man. I can feel it in your voice.
We got our top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-yo.
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis. Finally, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second to like the video. Make sure you've subscribed to the No Dunks YouTube feed. We are, what'd you say, Lee, right before we went live on the air? You said 82 people 82. Away from 50,000 yeah. subs.
It's live right now, so if we get an extra sub, I will see it and I'll count them down.
Okay.
We're getting 50,000 for the... my goodness. We're getting 50,000, so the more we get, we can pay our electricity bills and we can keep the show.
Well, I hope we have a warranty on this light because it's really acting up here. We've only had it tasked for like 5 or 6 weeks. What the hell?
It's probably covered.
Yeah. Comment away in the stream team right now or after the show and email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know what we sent you. And in case you missed it, you said I'm still electric.
Yeah.
Got some energy coursing through my body still. We put together a little highlight video of me wearing a dog shock collar on yesterday's show as part of my pick'em payoff from last year. Still owe another one. So go check that out. It's JD. JD took it to the next level because he added sound effects. And it's pretty, pretty funny. Later today, if you're a Top Shot hot boy or girl, join Trey and I at around 2:45, 3 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be doing the official Top Shot Q stream for their pack drop today. So join us. We do a bunch of giveaways on those shows. So a lot of fun. We'll tweet that out later. And this Saturday night, couple more reminders as we get closer to All-Star Saturday night. We're doing a live watch party from this very desk. There's no way that light's going to be able to stay on for 3-4 hours. But subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube and join us Saturday night as we watch all the festivities.
78.
To go.
Yeah.
Wow, we might do it this show. Yeah. We might do it this show. That'd be great. Okay, so here's the plan on today's show. 11 games on last night. Let's touch on every single one of them. And I've broken them up into the Eastern Conference sort of wins and the Western Conference wins. Let's start in the East because, Trey, I think we absolutely have to start with DeMar DeRozan breaking Wilt's record as the Bulls beat the Kings 125-118, my man.
We absolutely do, Skeets. What a Wednesday for the Chicago Bulls. In the morning, Zach LaVine tweeted a picture of Snoop Dogg. What did it mean? We didn't know.
Right.
He was blessing up. You know, was it good news for Zach LaVine? Did he just get around to watching the Super Bowl? It was impossible to figure out until we found out that he had a visit with a knee specialist, and it actually went well. Got a second opinion, and it turned out to be good news. He's cleared to play after the All-Star break, though also kind of during the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Might still get in.
Yeah.
I don't know. Shoot some threes. Get in that three-point contest. Yeah. Maybe make one appearance, throw down a gentle dunk, and land on your good knee. And then just go back and sit on the bench.
Sure.
Get ready for the second half of the season. Also, Alex Caruso cleared for dribbling and shooting in the next 7 to 10 days. So that's some great news for the Bulls. That's in the morning. In the afternoon, there was a GQ feature by Tyler Tynes on DeMar DeRozan. And if I were in Chicago, I would have ordered an Italian beef. That's how I would have spent my afternoon. Not that big of news, to be quite honest. Oh, okay. But at nighttime, DeMar DeRozan did it again. 38 points to give the Bulls 38 wins and head into the All-Star break in first place when I'm going to be, you guessed it, 38 years old.
Oh,
shout out to Sam Yanono for that one. What's it mean? It means the Bulls are back. And it means DeRozan broke Wilt Chamberlain's record. I love a cherry-picked stat.
Oh, yeah.
But it ain't a record unless you can just look it up. You can go to Basketball Reference and look at the career leaders, see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the all-time leading scorer. That, my friends, is a record. This is a hilarious record. And it's honestly just a hot streak. 38 points for DeRozan last night. 16 of 27 shooting. That's seven straight games with 35 or more points on 50% or more shooting. He's shooting the lights out. We're shooting the lights out in here. The Kings were doubling him on inbounds passes in the last minute and a half of this game just so he didn't get to 40 points. And honestly, the Bulls needed all of his shot making once again in the fourth quarter because the Kings did keep scrapping into the buzzer trying to make it into this play-in tournament. DeRozan in the fourth quarter, 12 points and 3 assists. I think that's an underrated part of this streak that DeRozan's been on. He's still like 6 assists per game, so he's making the right plays when it comes down to scoring or choosing to be a playmaker. Kobe White also scored 13 points in the fourth quarter. He finished with 31 on the night. He's been really solid the past couple of weeks. 5 straight wins for Chicago, and they need it because the schedule, like we've mentioned before, really hard after the All-Star game. But this is the perfect way to end the first part of the season. I saw 5 winnable games on the schedule. I said 4-1. That's the goal. 3-2. Acceptable. Somehow they went 5-0, and it's all because DeRozan just on fire right now.
Oh, it's wild. You say it's a cherry-picking stat. It sort of is. But when you break any record that was held by Wilt Chamberlain, or I would add Michael Jordan to the list, like, those two are fair to celebrate, I think, and to make the thumbnail and put in the headline and lead the show. And I'm dead serious because it does illustrate just how fire this guy is on right now.
Yeah, and when you consider the shots that Wilt would have taken to get that record versus what DeMar's taken, I mean, it definitely stands out. But DeMar DeRozan is having his career best year. I mean, that's not a surprise. He's had some really good, consistent scoring years, you know, from the Raptors. And
for sure.
Even in San Antonio, he was a good scorer, but there's no way it sort of stood out like it is right now, where it's like, it's him. And Chris Paul, Tyler Tyne said he's the best finisher in the game. I would probably argue and say it's Chris Paul. Who cares? They're both awesome. And they're both on Team LeBron, too, by the way, for the All-Star game. So if that gets tight, that's going to be interesting to see who gets the ball. But seeing a guy just perfect his craft like this is really good. Because DeRozan, in those early Raptor days, it was like maybe he could get an All-Star game, but you didn't quite know what the ceiling is with him. Right now, it's like when the game's on the line, I will take my team to the end and I'll win the game for them and I'll get to my spot. Doesn't matter who's defending me, I will make the right shot and I'll make the right play.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I mean, for the season, he's at 52% field goal percentage on 20 field goal attempts a game. So, you know, he's shooting the three okay. I mean, that's not part of his game. But when DeRozan feels like I need to go and get a bucket, he's got multiple spots within that three-point line. He can go down to the baseline. He's got the little mid-ranger at the free throw line. He's got the other side. He can do the little sidestep mid-ranger there as well. So he's got everything. His bag is deep.
Oh, there it is.
7 straight 35-point games on 50% or better. It's not a record. It's not in any book. It's not in a record book. But it's a noteworthy stat. So it's noteworthy.
Yeah.
And it should be noted for sure because the defense knows exactly what's coming. It's come a pump and another pump and a third pump may come. That's the stat I want to know. How many pumps does he pump over these
who
7
leads
games?
Leads the league in all-time pump fakes.
Yeah, and then you got to break it down by pump fakes that lead to made baskets
or pump fakes
that lead to missed baskets. I think DeMar would be. I mean, this would be the career for pump fakes made. I would assume career year for that. And it is going to be Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan together this weekend because apparently Zach interrupted DeMar DeRozan's postgame press conference to say, see in Cleveland, MVP. He's calling him MVP. They're on the same flight to All-Star weekend, according to Casey Johnson. So they'll be there. Yeah, Zach's got a 3-point contest to win. He wants to be the guy, the only guy in NBA history. That'll be a record book. That'll be the record book if That's he a wins a 3-point contest. Because he's won the dunk contest, the only guy to do both, to win both of those if that happens. And then a weird thing after the game. This is a different game here, but Rick Carlisle, head coach of the Indiana Pacers, had his postgame press conference and said Tristan Thompson, who joined our team at the trade deadline, is going to be bought out and is joining the Chicago Bulls.
He had a good game last night, too, for the Pacers.
Yeah, so Tristan Thompson's going to be a Bull. Kind of cool that the Bulls are going for it. I know Tristan Thompson is not a game changer by any means, but to be your backup center, to be a veteran guy, to be in his early 30s a champ, and to be a guy who can just fill in the gaps there, it's a decent pickup over Tony Bradley, I suppose, for the Bulls to have as a backup.
What do you think of the Tristan Thompson move here?
They've needed a backup big for quite some time, so bringing in Tristan Thompson as a buyout guy, sure. Seems to be one of the better gettable guys out there. I kind of thought it would be Robin Lopez. I don't know who you're taking between Tristan Thompson and Robin Lopez at this point, so sure, that's fine. The question now will be if they're going to release McKinney or Matt Thomas. Everybody right. wants them to release Matt Thomas, yeah. but there's like nobody on the Bulls that can shoot threes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would kind of keep him around even though he doesn't want to shoot threes. Mm. Like, he's out there to shoot threes. He just passes them up and takes a 20-footer.
Well, I don't have the stat, unfortunately, for you, Tass, of pump fakes scored per possession. Mm. But I do have points scored per possession. This is from Synergy. So a quick trivia question for you guys. Mm. Who leads the league this year, basically in scoring efficiency is what we're getting down to it. There are six guys that have 1.10 points scored per possession, which is really, really good. Can you name them?
Well, DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan is currently fourth. Right now, he's tied off. Well, he's really third, tied with two other guys, but he's on the top six. Yep.
Giannis.
Correct. He's on the list, tied with DeRozan.
Joel Embiid?
No.
Jokic.
He leads 1.12. Wow. Here we go. There's another big guy you haven't named, but it's not Embiid. Scoring his forte.
LeBron.
No. LeBron's not there.
Yeah, too many.
Scoring
threes,
is his
yeah.
forte.
He's an all-star. He's a near 7-footer.
Rudy?
No. Although I guess percentage wise, yeah, true. No, this guy's a big guy that can shoot. Some think he's the greatest 7-footer.
Oh,
Carl.
Shooter.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns. And then two more. I'll give you one because he's injured. Durant is on the list. Mm-hmm. This is the interesting one, though. Just got traded.
DeMontis Sabonis?
No.
Halliburton?
Guard. Shooting guard.
Buddy?
No. Never been an all-star.
Derek White.
No. Borderline all-star player. Playing really well for his new team.
CJ McCollum.
There it is. Nice. So Jokic, Durant, CJ, DeRozan, Giannis, and Karl-Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. And then it goes LeBron, Embiid, Zach LaVine, and Anthony Davis. You guys mentioned a couple other ones there.
Right.
So there you go. Yeah. But hopefully we'll get you the pump fake
per
possession. I'll get you that. Any other thoughts on the DeMar DeRozan run here and the Bulls? And just Kobe White is playing exceptionally well. I know we've talked about him over the last couple of weeks. He is slotted in there perfectly, getting more opportunity, more minutes, more shots. And what, he had another, 31 or something like that last night? So not bad for Kobe. Okay, let's go to Cam Thomas, leading the Nets back from 28 down, Tass, to stun the Knicks 111-106. I'm sure you saw the Stephen A. Smith clip going around this morning. The Knicks are trash, and he's done with them. He's over it. But a wild game here with the comeback from Cam Thomas.
I didn't see the Stephen A. Smith clip.
That's pretty funny.
Okay.
I mean, it's exactly what you would imagine.
It's going down in history. This is going to be
pretty
one
good.
That people are going to come back to as like one of his all-time great rants.
Yeah. Right after the game.
Yeah.
It's a good audio bite. It's a good sound bite.
Yeah, it is.
The Knicks are trash. Simple as that. Yeah. You go back to
They're
that.
A national disgrace. Tracy Morgan, don't go to the games. Yeah. We need to boycott. It's like 3 minutes of straight fire.
Yeah.
To be quite honest. So it's so good.
So is it better than lay off the weed?
No, that's still to me my favorite.
I think it's going to be up there and the Lamar Odom line that he had that's very famous as well. I think it's going to be on the Mount Rushmore of Stephen A. Smith rants.
Well, you know, we do the show at 10 a.m. Eastern. I'm not a Stephen A. Smith 8 a.m. guy. I need a nooner. So as soon as this show is over, I'm looking for some Stephen A. Smith.
Yep.
But I understand. I thought this game was one you could turn off, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm dumb because they gave up their third 20-point lead in 11 days. That's hard to do.
That's incredible.
It is incredible against a Durantless, Simmonsless, Irvingless team.
Yeah.
The Knicks were up 28. I thought it was done. And here come the Brooklyn Nets, led by Cam Thomas, who was their guy. KD tweeted after the game, "Way to lead us out there, number 8," I think is what he said. Let me double check that. Way to lead us out there. Whatever he said. Anyways, Cam Thomas hit the dagger there at the end of the game. But when you were watching the end of the game, it was a bit of a two-man Cam Thomas and LaMarcus Aldridge game with Seth Curry playing off the ball.
Yep.
And that could happen mere weeks from now with Kevin Durant being in the place of Cam Thomas and a big like LaMarcus Aldridge, who replaced Andre Drummond, who had a big 19-point game. And then Seth Curry, again, the fifth best three-point shooter in terms of percentage in NBA history off the ball. So Seth had a 20-point game along with Cam Thomas's 21 off the bench. And LaMarcus Aldridge, The guy's money in the bank for mid-range. You're talking efficiency for the mid-range. They've got two of them. They've got they were the top two in the NBA in terms of percentage from the mid-range, Seth Curry and LaMarcus Aldridge. So this team has been built very, very well. Now onto that other side. This Knicks team, what happens with Tom Thibodeau teams is that they tend to peak after year two, three max, and then they tend to fall off because of the lack of creativity offensively, and it just seems like this ceiling, which usually lasts a couple years with teams, was just one. I don't know if it's returning here because it's really just reliant upon Julius Randle making jump shots, and that ain't going to happen. And it's a frustrating thing to watch because it's old guys who we know what their ceiling is. I mean, really, we're watching Kemba Walker, we're watching Evan Fournier, and we're watching Taj Gibson play a ton of minutes here while the young guys are on the bench. Taj Gibson, 25 minutes played, more minutes combined than Obi Toppin, Cam Reddish, and Deuce McBride combined. So those three guys play 24 minutes, Obi, Cam, and Deuce, while Taj is playing a ton. That's not going to work when they're not listening to the coach. There's no real creativity offensively. You're just watching Kemba dribble, Taj dribble, and then Julius, who I'm not sure exactly what happened. I did say in the offseason, maybe New York had got to him after that playoff run. Maybe that was just a one-year peak of Julius Randle where he was an all-NBA player and he's come back to earth. But the only way this team could find a lower rock bottom is if The Rock did intros. I mean, talking about Super Bowl, if The Rock did intros and gave somebody a rock bottom pregame, I mean, that's the only way this thing could get worse because their crunch time offense is very bad.
What do you think about your Knicks?
Same sort of thing we've seen over these last couple of weeks where they're in a position where they can win if they can just get a couple of decent looks on the offensive end, but they can't. It's either Randle just like, all right, dribble, dribble, I'm going for a deep fadeaway, or it's just like someone else is just going to... They try to get Fournier shots because he is a good shooter of the ball, but they can't really do it. And then on the other end, they just look so panicked defensively. Cam Thomas only hit 1-3 last night, by the way, but it was that bomb.
Yeah.
Before that, he hit two of those sort of steep step back twos, and you could just feel he was like, I'm feeling confident right now. Not much you can do about that when he just sort of steps into the three there, but prior to that, there was a hustle play, the ball's going out of bounds, and the Nets saved it and kept possession of the ball. Just that like work rate right there. And then the Knicks on the other end, it just looks like they are so tense offensively when they are desperate for a basket.
They're missing their best player.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is RJ Barrett.
That's true.
Randle had a good game, too.
Well, and Rose. They're missing Rose, which is, again, Rose at 33, they shouldn't be missing him as much as they are. But they are. And Tibbs, I mean, they're now 9 games below 500. Will he even survive into next season? I'm not sure. It's not a greatly constructed roster. We always have to look at that first. But also, the Knicks just don't have anywhere near the level of sort of intensity that they had last year. Maybe that's a reflection of Tibbs. Certainly, his reputation carries that. And the season's almost done here for the Knicks.
Anything to add to this battle here between the Nets and Knicks? I know Kevin Durant was loving it on the sideline, especially Cam Thomas, a guy he basically drafted for Brooklyn, helping lead the comeback. And he had some fire tweets saying, it was, pretty loud. The Nets fans were pretty loud in the bark. The Garden, which it was a great crowd atmosphere, sort of back and back. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think Kevin Durant should have went over and shook Tom Thibodeau's hand for that huge Cam Thomas performance. Honestly, insane stuff to keep going with the same defense and just seeing him at pull-up jumper after pull-up jumper after pull-up jumper. I mean, shout out to Quentin Grimes. He actually got some playing time last night, 32 minutes, and he got his ass cooked by Cam Thomas the entirety of the fourth quarter because they were playing drop coverage the whole time. It was just like lining it up for Cam Thomas. Hey, man, take the jumper you want to take every single time down the court. Deuce McBride, he got sent to the G League. He's probably their best ball distributing point guard. So it all comes down to, is Julius Randle going to be able to make shots? He made shots for all of the regular season last year, and we all said, what happens if this guy stops making shots? He stopped making shots in the playoffs and hasn't gotten it back this season, so the team is bad. And Thibs, maybe he sticks around for the rest of the season, because like Stephen A. Smith said, we haven't seen Leon Rose. We see inmates more than we see Leon Rose. So maybe Thibs gets to stick around, but he is not going to last in New York past this season, I would imagine, because I don't know if you guys watched Worldwide Wob. He did his Knicks reaction shirtless.
Oh, wow.
And like you mentioned, the Knicks have blown three 20-point leads in their past seven games. He said not only do the Knicks find new ways to lose, they invent new ways to lose, and that every loss is somehow the worst loss of the season. They get worse and worse. Yeah. Every single time. Like, I mean, I don't mind blowing a 28-point lead in the first half. It honestly happens more than you would think. An 18-point lead in the fourth quarter. That's even
tough.
Worse.
That's tough.
Yeah. Honestly, just go watch the Stephen A. Smith. It was worth it. Seeing the Knicks get destroyed like this was worth it to see a Stephen A. Smith rant like that.
I agree with that. And the only thing I also will add to this from the net side of things is, and I think I said it the other day, one thing I hope Steve Nash has figured out is that Bruce Brown needs to play. He just has to. He's an energy guy. You talk about that offensive rebound late. It was all because of him just out-hustling, you know, Randalls and the Mitchell Robinsons of the world and just having a nose for the ball. And he's not going to fill up the box score, and it doesn't matter because he's a great, perfect complementary player around star players, and he didn't have a lot of those last night. He just has to play. He's got to get 20 minutes a game, and I think Nash is smart enough to see that as well. And you know, he was really solid, and he just knows his role, and just again, that energy is contagious. I think it spreads to some of your superstars a little bit more.
Yeah, and maybe he wasn't his energetic self this season because the Nets locker room wasn't all that great.
Yeah, I mean,
because he said as soon as the trade happened, we like each other now. That's a quote from a basketball player after a trade.
Right.
And it's not just Bruce Brown. It's this entire team. Maybe they have found a supporting cast here. Drummond, 19 boards as the starter coming over in that trade. Seth Curry taking the place of Joe Harris. Because Joe Harris has been injured all season. Money from the outside as an off-ball contributor. He was a little bit more on the ball with the Sixers, and he got better at that, that's for sure. But now everybody else is going to take the limelight. Even Cam Thomas, who is number 24, I figured this out. Kevin Durant said, way to lead us, number 24. Or he just called him 24. I wish.
Well, I just think it was 8 out of curiosity.
I'm not sure. Cam Thomas feels like an 8. Yeah. I don't know. Cam Thomas feels like, I wish guys wore the number that they were drafted. Because that was pretty close to what he was drafted. He was drafted 27th. He's a rook. Why not just wear 27? I mean, you can choose what you want, but where are your draft card?
Right. Well, let's keep going here.
I just want real quick one.
Okay.
I tweeted out the Cam Thomas dagger bomb, and Alex Sturm retweeted and said, Mike Breen had a puts it in instead of a bang. Injustice. I think he's right, too. That deserved a bang.
Well, Breen's in a tough spot, though. He's like the Knicks play-by-play guy.
But he's
the
national
ESPN
guy.
I know.
He can't be a homer in that situation.
That wasn't a game-winning shot. They're up 3. That put him up 6.
You wanted a
bang? I mean, in the garden. I mean, come on. It puts it in. That's a banger.
Oh, if he just bangs everything, then it becomes a little
less
meaningful.
I'm saying it was worthy
meaningful.
Of a bang.
I think that's a banger. That's a banger.
That's a banger.
I mean,
come on.
Not a bang. I'm not saying bang. No, I'm just saying just bang. Give me a bang.
The Pistons reject the Celtics' 9-game winning streak. Detroit with the win. Lee, what are your notes?
The double rejection
at
the end.
That was awesome.
Who do you think got credited with it?
I think Cade.
Who do you think?
Am I wrong?
I think Cade.
Isaiah Stewart.
Isaiah Stewart in the box score gets
it. Oh, because I thought...
Cade gets it first.
His hands are first.
Cade definitely gets it, and then Stewart like whacks it like that.
That could have been a bang.
But this is a funny game because that basically preserved the victory for the Pistons in Boston. When I was watching this game, we came home from basketball last night and you're sort of looking around at the scores and I saw, oh, wow, the Pistons are beating the Celtics. Maybe Jaylen Brown isn't playing. Maybe Tatum's not playing. Marcus Smart wasn't playing because he was injured, but everyone else was playing. But I think the Celtics, who had won 9 in a row, just came off a massive win against Philadelphia, saw the Pistons coming to town and it was the All-Star weekends on the horizon. They're like, yeah, we'll be good.
Yeah, we'll have to play 6 good minutes.
Yeah,
That happens. That happens.
But not the case. The Pistons actually went out and played really, really well and got a huge road victory here in Boston, and Cade Cunningham didn't shoot the ball all that well in terms of his percentages, but he is really something. He is,
love him.
Yeah, he is going to be special. I've made the Lillard comparison before because of that sort of that stoicness in the way that he plays and the way that he can sort of get to his spot and shoot, and I really love that about him. But the Pistons, not bad. Sadiq Bey last night, 20 points, hit 5 threes.
Mm-hmm.
They played a good game for a team that's got really nothing to play for. They're trying to get to the bottom to get a high draft pick. They go in there and accidentally get a win over not the hottest team, but one of the hotter teams in the league right now. So good job, Pistons. Isn't it funny, Jeremy Grant, he was so likely to be traded, and there wasn't even really
a close deal out there, was there?
Yeah.
I mean, he was like the hot name going around the market a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, he's maybe not that good. I mean, he's fine, but he's not like...
He hit the game-winning shot.
Yeah, but
could have given him a bang yesterday. Took it right out of Tatum.
It wasn't Mike Breen. It wasn't Mike Breen. Yeah. Only Breen can bang.
Copy him. Tatum had a look at this, too.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
That's a, I mean, fine, it's a look. Fine look. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of separation.
Yep.
That was after, correct me if I'm wrong, Derek White with a beautiful steal on the inbound bad pass from Corey. Mm. I'll even say
was
bad.
Was Cade's fault?
I was going to say Cade sort of stopped. That's the last thing you want to do in a tight inbounds. Like, you make your cut, and then you give up halfway through, and it's like, Corey's already passing the ball. But it was a nice steal from Derek White, because he left his guy in the backcourt, and I guess it was sort of Cade had no idea that he was there. That was a great play, a very Marcus Smart-like play.
Yeah.
But, it's a nice quality win here from Detroit, surprising the Beantown Boys.
That's nice to see Corey Joseph really pissed when that ball was stolen. Like, they really cared down to the end here. The Pistons held on to every one of their vets, including Corey Joseph, Kelly Olynyk, and obviously Jeremy Grant. Those guys, could there be a buyout coming? Somebody could pick up a Corey Joseph. But maybe they just want these vets around these youngins going into next season.
Gary Trent Jr. drops 30 as the Raptors defeat the Wolves ahead of the All-Star break test.
Well, before the game, very, very funny.
Oh,
Patrick
awesome.
Beverly got a technical foul pregame, as they line up. He's foot battling with Gary Trent Jr.
It was amazing.
You got to have your foot on your side of the midcourt line, Gary. Patrick.
Come on, Gary.
They're just kicking each other, and Patrick Beverly gets a pregame tech. And our friend Rob Lopez said, is that a record? Like, did somebody else have a pregame tech in the history of the NBA? Because if that is a mark for Patrick Beverly to hold for the rest of NBA eternity, not bad. That is a very good one. So the Wolves couldn't hit shots in this game. Two games in a row, 24% from three. My man Anthony Edwards, 0-for on this night.
Yeah.
0-for-8. Night before, he left the game with an injury. He needs the break here.
Surprised he played.
Yeah, I am a little surprised he played as well. Is he at the Rising Stars Challenge? Yeah. I assume he is.
Yep.
I wonder if he does go. Anyways, this was a very tough-minded victory for the Raptors without Fred VanVleet. Didn't need him because of Pascal Siakam. He was creating. I think we overlook a lot of the times just how much of a fulcrum he is from the elbow. 9 assists in this game to go along with 17 points and 9 rebounds. 6 turnovers, who cares? But he just needed one guy to be banging home shots. And the aforementioned banger was Gary Trent Jr. dropping 30, and Gary Trent's dad, Gary Trent Sr., looking fresh on the sideline. We've got it here if you're on YouTube. The Mink. I suppose he lives in Minnesota. This was his last NBA team. He was a Blazer, a Raptor, but he's wearing the Mink to keep him warm there, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah.
Looking great. And Gary Trent Jr. was asked about his dad's look on the TSN broadcast after the game, and he explained it to a T. Listen.
He most definitely got an A+. You know, he got the Mink on with the Versace belt. He got the wildlife with the gators on his feet. Y'all zoom in on him. Y'all can see him. He got the GT bracelet with the little ice on him. Little brothers in the Mink, so everybody kind of doing their thing.
There was a lot there.
I know what you're thinking. Did I accidentally, when listening to the podcast, hit 2x speed on that? Yeah. No, you didn't. That's how fast he was talking about his dad's wardrobe.
He was flying. Yeah. I think he's just a fast talker.
I mean, wow.
He must speed up podcasts when he listens to podcasts. But the Versace belt, the gators.
Did he say wildlife on his feet? Yeah. He's got the gators.
Is that what he said? Awesome. Wildlife? Oh, yeah. Okay, because I thought that was a brand, but all right, that makes sense. Something about a bracelet, and then something about another. I think I'm not sure which relative it is, but another
the kids
another kid wearing a mink there as well. I guess I don't know.
Great fit.
But
Timberwolves mask though, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely obviously lives in the Twin Cities. and he's sitting right by the Raptors, bench, though. Yeah, it's great.
Hook him up.
Yeah, but he's been at Raptor games as well, supporting his son who's balling this season. So, yeah, this was a gutty win and not a beautiful win for the Wolves.
Right.
Who just couldn't hit shots. But, the Wolves just needed to go home. Just take the break here and get their shots back.
I think you sort of glossed over one of my favorite parts of the Beverly Gary Trent jostling there, which went for like a minute before they would jump the ball. Beverly pissed off Gary Trent Jr. He scored 13 points in the first 5 minutes of the game. So a classic Beverly, like, trying to get under somebody's skin and it backfiring and blowing up in his face.
Come on, he did have 10 points and more turnovers than assists, though. Really showed up. Very, very weird. Got the tech, though.
Yeah, he got the tech. And, oh, my God. A hilarious moment if you haven't seen it. You gotta check it out. Yeah. Anything to add to the game?
I thought Thaddeus Young was pretty decent for the Raptors.
Very good.
I mean, for a pickup for nothing, really, because Dragic wasn't there. They got the veteran. They just need that presence, that depth. And he showed he's ready to play and slot in pretty easily.
Yeah, and slot in. He finds space. He makes reads. He had 10 points, 5 boards, a steal, and a block in you know, 20 minutes off the bench there. I thought he was great.
A team that hasn't really utilized its bench all that much, if you can get that sort of production out of him in 20-plus minutes, phew, that's huge for the Raptors.
Yeah. Also, just a weird stat with the Wolves, despite the loss. Their second-best record at the 59-game mark as we hit the All-Star break here, they're 31-28. Their second-best record in the last 18 years. A couple games over 500.
That's a record. That must have been that
first Tibbs year.
Yeah, it probably was.
That's always the best Tibbs year.
Okay, a couple more Eastern Conference wins just quickly here. Trae Young scored 22. Hawks destroyed the Magic, 130-109.
Yeah, blowout city in this one. The Hawks led by 20 at half. They hit 13 of 19 threes in the first half and then hit another 5 in the second half, and really that's the game. So the Hawks head into the break in 10th place in the Eastern Conference on a 2-game win patch, which comes after losing 5 of 7, which comes after a 7-game win streak, which comes after a 5-game losing streak. It's a roller coaster season. Their second half goal is to treat the second half of the season like they did last year and literally find some consistency, play some defense. They didn't really need it last night. They just hit a bunch of threes and the Magic couldn't keep up. The other interesting thing here, Lou Williams set an NBA record for most games off the bench. His 985th game in which he came off the bench, breaking a tie with?
Ooh. Jamal Crawford?
No, you would think. You would think. But this man makes a bunch of three-pointers, but he's not even the second-best three-point shooter in his family.
Oh.
Seth Curry.
No. Del Curry.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Del Curry. So Nate McMillan said, Lou's been the best sixth man of the... Or he's been the sixth man of the year a few times. They need to probably name that award after Lou Williams. You think they needed to name that award after Lou Williams?
No, we don't.
Lou Williams Sixth Man of the Year Award?
Not when he's tied with Jamal Crawford as well, with 3 each. Ooh.
Yeah, wins. But he is saying he is the all-time guy off the all-time bench.
He's come off the bench more than anybody else. He's won Sixth Man of the Year more than anybody else except for Jamal Crawford. So let's name the award after him. Feels like we're going to name awards after people.
That'd be a fun podcast where we come up with the name of the player that we would name each award after.
That's not bad. Yeah. So we've got Bill Russell, Finals MVP.
Yeah.
We've got Kobe Bryant, All-Star Game MVP.
Yeah.
That's it right now.
Right.
Oh, Twyman Stokes, teammates.
True. Good technicality.
So we need what? We need MVP.
Most improved would be weird. We need somebody to win it twice. Pascal Siakam to win it twice.
The most that year. Giannis.
Yeah.
The Giannis Antetokounmpo most improved.
Didn't Giannis go from most improved to MVP? So he sort of improved on his improvement.
I like that.
I don't know.
Okay, so, all right. Well, hey, somebody write that in our Slack channel so we can do that.
That's a brainstorm.
Anything else from the Hawks victory there over the Magic?
No, sir.
No, okay. Finally, then, for Eastern Conference wins, we will get to the Western Conference games. You know, LeBron and the Blazers continuing to win. We'll do that after the break. But the Pacers snapped a 7-game losing streak by beating the Wizards, who are a garbage basketball team, 113-108. And you already slipped it in there, Tass, when we were talking about the Bulls. Two former Kings balled out in this one. Tyrese Halliburton, who's putting up some monster numbers here for Indiana. He had 21-14. And then Tristan Thompson, season-high 17 points. In his final game with Indiana, and Rick Carlisle after the game, it was fun while it lasted. he said, I don't mind announcing that because it's a rare chance when you get to thank a guy in front of his teammates, and he played very, very big tonight. And as we said, he is now expected to join the Chicago Bulls after they waive somebody. So there you go.
Yeah, and Tristan Thompson had a social media post thanking Indiana for his time.
How many games did he play? Three? Three or four.
It's weird. I've never really heard a coach say he's going to the next team, though. That doesn't usually happen like that.
Yeah.
It's like, we, you know, if they waive him, then it's like, good luck on your next endeavor or whatever.
And Billy Donovan couldn't even comment on Tristan Thompson coming. Like, I don't know if that legally he couldn't because it's not official. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Even Rick Carlisle was like trying to be cagey about it. He's like, he's going to a team a little farther up north. Starts with a C, ends with an O. Then he talked for like another 30 seconds, and then he's like, it's Chicago, if you didn't get it.
Killed it, Ricky. Killed
Thanks,
it.
Rick.
Everybody wants to be a newsbreaker. Everybody does.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, Lee broke the Josh Giddey news at the draft. Yeah. You love breaking slam dunk contest
news.
Yeah,
every once in a while.
Can't wait for this weekend. What are you hearing?
I'll get back to you. Let me do some searching. Right. Indiana destroyed the Wizards in the paint. They scored 74 points in the paint. You are not going to win many basketball games, and they were in it. I mean, they had a chance, but it's a bad loss for Washington. But their season's sort of spiraling out of control.
You know that
here.
Meme of someone drawing a horse where it's really, really beautiful, yes. And then it's just like
I love that meme.
That's the Wizards season.
You know? Yeah, beautiful looking horse. Yeah.
And now it's just like get done.
Garbage.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to the Western Conference. Big games from last night. Some beauties. Don't go anywhere.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast, that would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, you know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. We've talked about the big Eastern Conference wins. Let's get to the West. But before we do, Lee, I'm going to need an update when it comes to trying to hit 50,000 subs on YouTube.
According to my sources, our YouTube channel 39 subscribers away from the big 50.
Looking Woo! For 39 heroes out there
That's
today.
That's right.
Are we going to do it during this show?
Yes.
Lock it in?
Lock it in.
All right. All right. Hopefully we'll get there by the end of the show. Ooh, JD's on it.
We might have to be here for a while.
Yeah, that's right. We can just keep going.
Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Okay, let's get to those Western Conference games. Some good ones last night. Some great endings. We'll start with LeBron fueling the Lakers. A little fourth quarter rally there over the Jazz, 106-101.
Throwback sort of performance there from LeBron where it's just like Anthony Davis was down. It's like I need desperately to get a win against a good team. And he went out, scored 15 of his 33 and hit some deep LeBron daggers over the defense there. Rudy was out on him. Rudy was playing decent defense. A double came. LeBron just bang, knocks in a three. He had a thunderous dunk down the lane as well.
Nice pass from Westbrook there.
Yeah, very nice. nice pass from Russ. Westbrook can make these high percentage plays at times. And there was times as well Westbrook had that little opportunity to shoot that banker that's been an absolute disaster for him this season, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So he's maybe showing some growth here. But ultimately, this comes down to the fact Lakers were down 12 in the fourth and looked like the Jazz, who have been playing much better at full strength, were going to get this win. And it was just a LeBron takeover game, and he was jacked. Did you see him celebrating? Like, the emotion like that. You don't see so much of that from LeBron. He said he was inspired because Aaron Donald was on the sidelines, defensive football player for the Rams.
Defensive football player.
But the reason I bring him up is because there's a very famous cricketer called Alan Donald. So every time I see Aaron Donald...
I was wondering why you said it.
Yeah, why did you put the emphasis on Aaron? Because for those out there who know Alan. Yeah. Got it.
I'm like, don't tell me White Lightning was sitting on the courtside in Staples there. And,
Alan Donald's nickname was White Lightning?
White Lightning, yeah. Yeah.
For what reason?
He was a fast bowler from South Africa. He was lightning fast, Big Alan. Okay. Anyway. But... for the Lakers, you know, going into the break here, they just needed a win. They needed one, and it looked like they
were... At what cost, though, Lee Ellis?
Well, Anthony Davis...
That ankle looked bad.
Yeah, he rolled his ankle, and he left straight away. X-ray's negative. He's having an MRI today. You know, great for him, but it just sort of feels the same thing with Anthony Davis. As soon as he gets back, he just can't stay healthy, you know? That's not a knock on him. It's just the way it's gone for him recently. So he will be loving the All-Star break now. He gets a minimum of 1 week off, but he may not be back for a couple, just based on the way that you could see it. They even said on the call, I think it was Mark Jones, like his ankle was touching the ground floor.
Yeah. It's gross.
Yeah. So, anyway, Lakers, good win.
Good win despite losing AD, who was playing great until he went down there, 17 points in 17 minutes.
Yeah, but great news that the x-rays are negative after the game. Yeah, TBD, how long that it is an absence. I guess he's got a week off here before the games start up again. That being said, I think they won because they went centerless in the fourth quarter against Rudy Gobert. LeBron playing center, and that's why they went 5:15 left in the game. They're down seven. Don't play a center the rest of the game. They win it 21-9 the rest of the game. Same thing happened pretty recently. Lakers-Jazz, fourth quarter. Jazz have Gobert on the floor. They go. The Lakers go to LeBron at the five. They went on a 13-0 run and outscored the Jazz 29-17 in the fourth to win it. That works against Rudy sometimes. Rudy's got to dominate on the other end, and he did not do that today.
He only got three shots.
That was a very, very odd stat there. Why he wasn't focused on more. You gotta feed him. Yeah, I think to
why?
Why? Because he can dunk the basketball.
Yeah, but he's got high percentage shots beforehand.
That's a problem. That's a problem, but that's I think
that's a problem
ceiling.
With Rudy Gobert. He needs to be better at like attacking a switch, because right now all you have to do to beat the Jazz in the clutch is switch and play defense against them by switching, because Gobert can't do anything unless it's an alley-oop or an offensive rebound. Great stat by Tony Jones at The Athletic. Subscribe at theathletic.com/nodunks. Jazz are 0-11 this season when they trail by three or fewer points and there's 2 minutes left in the game. Wow. They've got terrible crunch time offense because it becomes Mitchell bail us out, and that's all they've got going for him, because everybody else is pretty easily guardable when you're switching and they're not getting that kind of motion going there. So, I don't know. Feels like the same thing for the Jazz for the fifth season in a row. Bail us out, Donovan Mitchell. He can do it sometimes, but he's not going to be able to do it every time.
Yeah. I their ceiling is way higher if Rudy just tries, and it may not work. Because it hasn't for several years.
I think every team is fine, though, saying, hey, Rudy Gobert is going to beat us in the post. We'll take that.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And that's definitely what the Lakers did last night. And I got to give this shout-out to StatMuse for my stat musing there.
Did LeBron go to the Rams parade? Did we ever get
I don't think so. There's like 10 people at that parade.
Yeah, that's right. That's
you would have seen him if he was there.
Okay, guess not. He wasn't in it or he wasn't at it. All right.
I can't believe Aaron Donald went to the game after the Super Bowl parade.
Yeah, it's just riding that high, I guess. Yeah,
I know. I'm just saying I would have picked something else to do.
He got a great game.
It's true. He could have chosen to do anything else. Matt Stafford wasn't sitting there.
Matt Stafford was probably asleep by that point.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I don't know. Does Aaron Donald drink? I don't know. I didn't see
him chugging
away.
But he got his first championship of his career.
Yeah.
He should have been partying harder.
Taking a little champagne down for sure.
I know people saying that Matt Stafford, he was hammered giving his speech. He had a sip of tequila. It was a sip. It wasn't an ounce.
If you think that's hammered, come hang out with us on Saturday night when I'm putting back some Guinness here watching the All-Star Saturday Night Festival.
Saturday night, there will be at least a sip. There will be at least a Matthew Stafford sip. But people claim it like he chugged the whole bottle.
Not like Marc Gasol, who did actually neck a bottle of wine.
Let's go to the Blazers. Oh, my God. Break up the Blazers. What the hell? They overcome Ja Morant's 44 points. Monster game from him as they beat the Grizzlies 123-119 in Memphis. And, they keep stringing together these victories.
But this was definitely their best win of this run post-trade deadline. Four straight after trading C.J. McCollum and Norman Powell. The teardown began. but this was the best one. Going into Memphis where Ja Morant put up 44, tying his career high, 44. Mm. He went to the line 25 times.
Yeah. 11 assists, too.
Yeah. How do they lose? With Desmond Bane beside him dropping 30, how do they lose that game? Because the Blazers can score. If you watch Anthony Simons at the end of this game, when he sealed it, it was a sidestep three.
Oh, that was dirty.
It was hard, not to think of Damian Lillard
with
the exact same form where he learned that thing, where he's been training for three seasons behind Damian Lillard. And he got help. Josh Hart, who came over from New Orleans, 22, and Yusuf Nurkic, who was able to take it into the middle against Stevie Adams, had 32. So they can score. They can outscore teams, that's for sure. And they've got these wings now with Josh Hart and Justice Winslow, who are energetic young guys who play D. Josh Hart, you can't underestimate what he gives to a team in this role. And then Justice Winslow, who... I love me some Justice Winslow. The Grizzlies themselves didn't sign Winslow this past offseason after a 26-game trial with the Grizzlies last year. Because I've always been infatuated with Justice Winslow ever since he came on our show and we asked him whether or not he bunches or folds his toilet paper. I love Justice Winslow. I don't even know what he answered. But I tweeted during the game, if Justice Winslow finds a home here with the Portland Trail Blazers, I take back everything I said about the Blazers last week. And then he ran to the tunnel after the game. He screamed at the crowd, "You didn't want me here." Basically, he's telling the truth. They didn't want him there.
Oh, the Grizzlies fans.
Yes.
I forgot it wasn't in Portland for a second.
And Casey Holdall reported that, sitting there courtside, that they didn't want him there. It's true. And then he got to the post-game media press conference, and he said, quote, "Like, I found a home. I don't want to go anywhere. I love it here." And it's been four games, but he really enjoys it. He enjoys the walks in nature, he said. He likes it. He went on to say, "We're really, really young. Anthony Simons is in his third year. Let's build this thing." He's loving this four-game run that they're on. Why the hell wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And because he's playing a role. And he started his career in Miami, where it seems like eons ago, before the whole Jimmy Butler thing, that he was their piece. He was a guy who could play defense, their Swiss Army knife. Then he got hurt. And now he's doing the same things. He's scoring a little bit. He's not a number one scorer by any means, but he can play D and switch everywhere. And him and Josh Hart really work well together if Anthony Simons is going to be dropping 30. And that's the big thing. Anthony Simons is looking like an all-star. I mean, that's simple as that.
Incredibly.
It's getting, the span isn't just a...
Yeah, it's 23 games now, basically, since the calendar turn.
Is he going to, try and pop his head into the most improved discussion here? Is it possible for him? Or a little too late?
Well, it's probably a little too late, but if he can keep it up, he might get a bit more buzz around him. But, I mean, this is apparently what we're hearing out of Portland, is that that's the guy they want to make as, their future sort of not necessarily built around, but he's the one they're going to look towards now. So this is all makes it very interesting to see what they do decide to do with Lillard.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, this is awesome from him, but if Lillard were to come back, he's not, but if he were to come back next week, Trey, it's like, does that not take the ball out of Simons' hands and stuff like that? Not Simmons. I always want to do it. Can't say Simmons.
I know.
Can that work with the two of them? That's the problem to me, especially defensively. That's you're giving up a whole lot.
If only there was, years of evidence. Can a Blazers team built around Damian Lillard and another guard...
smallish guard at that.
...really succeed?
Yeah.
Can they? Only one way to find out. Run it back.
Yay!
Once again. I don't know. Encouraging stuff for the Blazers, and honestly encouraging stuff if you're the Grizzlies as well, because this is their worst defensive game since November, when they weren't really a great defensive team. They turned it around since then. So this, to me, says... We looked at the Blazers and thought we were going to win this one playing offense. That's how you know you've become a great team, when you overlook the good team. So shout out to the Grizzlies.
Breaking news.
Oh,
Breaking news, baby.
Wow.
We've done it.
Hey!
We've done
it. Here we go. 50,000 subs.
50,000.
Live. Okay, now we need people to unsubscribe so we can do this all again on Saturday night when we're live during the launch party. Oh, thank you to everybody that subscribed. There you go.
I was just screen grabbing 49,999.
Oh, that looks good. Who was the final one?
Who just subscribed? Leave your name in the stream team.
We'll get you something. I'm sure that'll go swimmingly. All right, well, thank you to everybody that subscribed to No Dunks on YouTube. And so now what's the next goal? We got Chase Kenny Beecham, right? King of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think he must be 1.3 or something.
He's got like 8 channels that are like plus a billion, I feel like. All right, well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Everybody in the stream team, Lee, is saying it's time for you to sing a ball, hoop with no net.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you're Slim Dusty? Was that his name?
That's right, yeah.
You were going to do a Slim Dusty version?
What did I do that for?
That was years ago.
It was. I can't remember what triggered that, but I've got the lyrics still here.
Okay. Why don't you maybe save this for Saturday night?
Okay, then, sure.
That'd be nice.
Save it for Saturday. Okay. I love
it. Get you a cowboy hat or something like that. Did Dusty wear a cowboy hat?
He must have, yeah.
Yeah.
Slim Dusty, yeah.
I call him Dusty. Yeah. Mr. Dusty. Please, show him some respect. Okay, some more games. That's great. 50,000 subs. We love it. Monte Morris nailed a game-winning buzzer beater to stun the Warriors last night. I can't believe the Nuggets pulled out this victory. They were down like 7 points with like 90 seconds or something to go.
They basically were down until 15 seconds to go when they got the lead, and then Steph Curry went down the other way, got an and one, put the Warriors up two, looked like the Warriors would probably be safe from there, and then Steph Curry fell asleep on the defensive end to allow Monte Morris to get that shot. Nikola Jokic had the ball, goes into the paint.
All eyes on the Joker, though, Mike.
Well, but Steph was in no man's land.
Yeah, he was.
He was kind of like half-doubling, but then kind of gambling that Monte Morris wouldn't get it. Nikola Jokic made a great pass, and it was a great shot. I mean, Steph closed out, but in the NBA, those guys get that shot off too quick. It's not like a Wednesday night run at the at the Y where, you know. But anyway, and after the game, some deserved criticism, I think, of Steph and of Steve Kerr, because Steph didn't even really have to be on the court for that possession. Gary Payton could have been and wasn't, had a great game, had 6 steals, is obviously a more intense defensive player anyway. Yeah. And Steve Kerr in the past has actually made that switch, and he didn't. And he sort of said afterwards, I made the wrong decision, and I think he did. So the Warriors, again, still 42-17. But struggling a little bit here, playing some of their less convincing basketball of the season right now. They'll still be fine. They'll probably still finish second, especially with the Grizzlies losing last night, lost a chance to catch up to them there. Mm-hmm. But great win from the Nuggets here. Really, to pull this one off. They were down, as you mentioned, about 8 points, I think, with about 2 minutes to go. Yeah. Just chipped away, got to that chance to give themselves a chance to win, and Monte Morris steps up. Bryn Forbes, Tass's mate, had a nice 22 points, too, off the bench for them. So Nuggets, great stuff for them.
Yeah, Denver, 33-25 as we head into the All-Star break here. Sixth in the West, and this is without, of course, Jamal Murray, without Michael Porter Jr., and it's all led by Jokic. Even that final play, it's like the defense just collapses on this guy because nobody can stop him. Yeah. It's 25-15 in his sleep at this point. And then, basically almost 10 assists too.
Because he's so comfortable, even if you throw a one body at him, he's going to punish you. Even if it's the 48th minute of the game, he's definitely got the conditioning to just put a guy into the lane.
He put Looney in the bucket like a couple plays prior. Like, Looney's a giant of a man. Yeah. It was like he was my size. Like, with Jokic just back, I'll just put you in the hoop. And then just flipped it over.
He's got it, man. Yeah, he's definitely improved that part, the conditioning part. And then, he's a threat, obviously, to pass to everybody on the floor. All four guys at any time. I just can't wait for Jamal Murray to join this guy. Jamal Murray is a guy who can create a little bit more off the dribble than the guys that they currently have. And it's coming. It sure sounds like Jamal Murray, all the talk about was Kawhi coming back, what's happening there. Well, this one with the Nuggets seems legitimate.
Yeah.
Zion, is he coming back? This one in Denver, where Jamal Murray is going to be the running mate for a guy who, are sixth in the Western Conference. And this is the best version of Nikola Jokic. Doesn't matter if he won MVP last year. He's better.
Mm-hmm.
He truly is. He is the threat of all threats. This Western Conference, playoff picture is going to be a bloodbath. It would be great if Jamal Murray comes back, and it sure feels like he is.
Anything to add to this one?
I just love the clutch moments that Jokic is wrapping up so far in this season. I don't think he has a game-winning shot this season. I was going back and trying to find like a buzzer-beating game winner. I don't think he has it, but he's got three game-winning blocks and now two game-winning assists for three-pointers, like at the very last second when it's clear that the defense is saying, "You're not beating us right now, Jokic. It's got to be somebody else." So he's still trusting his teammates. He found Aaron Gordon in the corner for the three, and then Monte Morris last night at the very last second. Like, he couldn't have passed that second later, or it would have been too late. But great stuff for Jokic. Great stuff for the Nuggets. Hopefully he gets a game-winning shot as well, so we can have, like, 10 game-winning plays, and a couple of them are actually buckets as well. But Nuggets moved to 8-0 with Boogie Cousins in the lineup.
Hey!
The Boogie Nuggets, they're good.
There you go. The Suns rallied without Chris Paul, which we can talk about, and they beat the Rockets for their 7th straight victory, Trey.
Yeah, pretty weird one in Phoenix. Chris Paul, like you said, he was ejected in the third quarter for bumping a referee. Contact was made, no doubt about it. The Rockets took a lead into the fourth quarter. They actually still had the lead with 2 minutes remaining. No Chris Paul. Thought there was a chance the Suns might actually blow a game in the fourth quarter. Just kidding. Suns outscored the Rockets by 6 in the last 2 minutes to close things out. There were some dicey moments. I didn't think they looked quite as composed as when Chris Paul is running the show, but Mikhail Bridges, I thought, really stepped up with Chris Paul gone. He had 17 points, 7 rebounds. 10 of those came in the fourth. Hit a floater with about a minute 10 left to take the lead. And then he had a putback off a Devin Booker miss after nothing was going on for the Suns in that possession. Just enough plays to win, but the most important thing going forward, it's got to be Chris Paul's hand, because that was just a weird play.
Oh.
It eventually led to his ejection. He passed the ball. I don't remember who the defender was. But as he passed the ball, he like hit the defender's arm and immediately, like, he was grabbing. Yeah. He was really upset. The ejection to me was bogus. Like, I understand. It's correct by the rules. They made contact, but I didn't feel like Chris Paul was complaining as much as Chris Paul normally does. Like, he goes way more overboard there. It felt like the ref came into him a little bit. Also, to be fair to the referee, not a foul. Chris Paul didn't get fouled.
No, that was the weird. It's like, sorry, man, you hurt your hand, but you literally, like, as passing it, hit the guy.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a foul, so I can understand the ref being like, hey, man, hey, easy, buddy.
Yeah.
And they bumped, whatever. Yeah. It wasn't a malicious bump. He got ejected, so we'll see what happens with Chris Paul. Chris Haynes reported that he's going to have an MRI on his hand today. Monty Williams said there's no update. Devin Booker said he's fine. Yeah. He'll be in the All-Star game. And Mikhail Bridges says, I'm praying for him. So, like,
wow, it's everything.
What's going on with his hand? Let's wait and see what the doctors say. Because, I don't know, a hand could keep Chris Paul out for a little bit of time
if
something's actually hurt here. But there are 6.5 games up on the Warriors right now. So, at the very least, he's got a little bit of a cushion to chill if he needs to.
On that injury front, real quick here, the stream team alerting me to some potential news on Zion Williamson here. A report yesterday, I didn't see this. The New Orleans Times-Picayune, Christian Clark reporting that Zion Williamson may need to have a second surgery on his foot.
Yeah.
So
I meant to send that to you, Tass, but I know how excited you were and convinced that Zion was coming back. I didn't have it in me to ruin your day yesterday. I saw that report going around. He's not playing, I don't think.
Yeah, but if he needs a second surgery, no sir.
Right.
That's unfortunate.
What do you think about the whole Chris Paul thing or the Suns' victory here with the Rockets?
The ejection, Chris Paul was walking to where the referee is, and the ref kind of turned, and I think the ref was like, okay, you were just doing that on purpose.
Yeah.
To get ejected for it, it's tough, but it's also like you didn't maybe need to be quite that close to him.
He didn't really make much of a stink.
So close to me. But he makes it like he puts, like, you don't just accidentally walk.
He just wants, Chris Paul just wants to go right to that line. And then
And the ref was just, because the ref was, you know, making the call, and I think he turned and he felt the contact. And he's like, you did that on purpose. Get out.
It was the equivalent of your two sons, one of them going, I'm not touching you.
Exactly.
I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. The other one, like, reaches out and, like, you know, bops him in the head.
Yeah, and so you don't want to see him ejected, but it's also like, just don't be a dick. He does that occasionally. He is such an incredible player, and it's so good seeing him still perform at this level, but he does be a dick at times.
Okay, I got a weird, let me put on my tinfoil hat here, conspiracy theory. Chris Paul, such a leader, right? One of the greatest leaders in NBA history. I think we would agree with that. What if he's faking this hand injury especially the way it happened, Trey, like you said. He's passing the ball, bashes his hand off a guy, and he's like, ah, my hand. Gets tossed, maybe leans into the injury. This is me saying it's all fake, because he wants Mikal Bridges selected to the All-Star team.
You think he's given up his spot on Mikal Bridges?
He's such a leader. He's like, I've played in a million All-Star games. I could take the time off. If I don't have to play because I'm injured, they'll probably just pick Mikal Bridges. Suns with an unbelievable record here. They're nearly at 50 freaking wins here at the All-Star break. That's my conspiracy.
I like it. Yeah. That's good. I like it because Mikal Bridges definitely would not get picked if he's the replacement. He wouldn't even be the replacement if they were picking from the Suns.
Oh. Well, what?
Ayton.
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Think about how many of these prop bets you've lost on Mikal Bridges, my man.
That's true. That's, he's
Ayton before Bridges for sure.
Really?
Guaranteed.
Mm. You watch. You watch. I'm going to talk this one into existence. Mikal Bridges is going to be an all-star here.
So don't ruin your slam dunk news-breaking reputation.
Yeah. At what point, though, does Adam Silver say, all right, I'm not making a replacement. It's too late, you know? Because he's done. I think he has done that in the past. Someone pulled out too close. Yeah,
really?
And he was like, "All right, it's too late to get a replacement."
They gave Mike Conley that bone throw last year, pretty late.
Yeah, I know. I think it was a couple of years ago. But anyway,
my only final thought from this game: it's just so nice to have on your team when you want to win a lot of games. A guy, Lee, you'll like this, that you can just put to the free throw line and say, "Just hit free throws, and we'll win the game." Because Cam Johnson split a pair. This was late. Jay Crowder, I believe, split a pair. It was late. But then, just get the ball to Devin Booker. Uh-huh. They have to foul. And he's just like sort of money usually. Like, you know, of course every guy misses one or two here or there.
Yeah.
But he's like an 85, 86% free throw shooter. He's not afraid of the moment as long as there's no mascot distracting him. And just like it's such a luxury. And you could add Chris Paul when he plays. Yeah. You know, same thing. It's like, get the ball to that guy. He's going to get wrapped up. And more times than not, he's just going to splash two free throws. And they're not going to hit rim, and you're going to go home happy.
It's funny you bring that up. I meant to bring up in the Warriors game, actually, Kevon Looney was hacked a couple of times. And then Nikola Jokic made a pretty smart hacker move with under 2 minutes to go that couldn't be called a hacker because he was in the play. But he still hacked him, and he missed both free throws. So that was very, very clever. Underrated play there.
Nice.
Smart thinking.
Yeah.
Final game. Wow, we did it, guys. Keldon Johnson scored 22 as the Spurs topped the Thunder 114-106. I got three notes from this. First off, your boy, Josh Giddey, the flowing locks. Third straight triple-double in the loss. Okay. Thunder fans don't care. They want entertaining games, and they want their young guys to put up stats, and they want to lose these games because they're obviously still looking for another good draft pick. 17 points, though, 10 boards, 10 assists for Giddey.
Yes.
The Thunder says he's the first rookie since Oscar Robertson during the 60-61 season to record at least three straight triple-doubles.
We've had Wilt Chamberlain comparisons, now Oscar Robertson comparisons.
It's crazy.
What a great morning it is. We got 50,000. It's a great day.
Big. It's a big day for us. Keldon Johnson, nice game. I said 22. He's averaging 19-5 over his last 10 or 11, shooting 47% from the floor, 39% from distance on a decent amount of attempts. He never turns the ball over. I only bring that up because I feel like we haven't talked a lot about Keldon Johnson this year. It's all, and rightfully so, DeJounte Murray. But here's Keldon Johnson, you know, having played on Team USA, you know, getting it going here. So I'm liking that. And then finally, with his 1,333rd career victory, Greg Popovich, he broke a tie with Hall of Famer Lenny Wilkins to claim sole possession of number two spot on the all-time NBA coaching wins. So three more wins here for the Spurs, and Pop will be alone at the top. Don Nelson currently holds the record, but I remember at the start of the season in the playoff preview shows, we were like, is Pop and the Spurs, are they going to win enough games this season to do it? So it's only a matter of time. I looked at their schedule when he could do this. Next three games after the All-Star break, they're all on the road. JD, what the hell's going on over there?
I've lost control.
Yeah, you are literally like, I'm watching out of the corner of my eye and you're zooming on everyone except me.
Too many buttons.
Okay.
He knows Lee loves his Popovich stat.
Yeah. You know, he's getting ready to see Lee's reaction. Okay, go
exactly.
to him.
Exactly.
So the three games after the All-Star break, they're still on this long road trip. At Washington, at Miami, and then at Memphis. I mean...
Maybe they win one, maybe two, but more likely one.
They host the Kings on March 3rd. Then they got to fly all the way back to Charlotte for one game on the road on March 5th. And after that, they got a 7-game homestand. So that's when I believe it's going to happen. Maybe in the first or second game of that very long homestand there in whatever, sort of early-ish March.
Yeah, they want to do it in San Antonio, I think.
They want to do it. You'll throw games on the road to make it happen.
I can already see the headline, Top of the Pops.
Yeah, that's good. You want to call the thumbnail that now?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
You don't think pop on top?
Top of the pops.
That's
pop
good.
On top. I mean, no, pop top. On pop.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Anything else? Any other headline suggestions?
Oh, no, I got nothing. No, you guys hit it. Okay. We don't have to keep going further. I think those were good.
Yeah.
Just credit to the Thunder have made it an entertaining season for themselves.
Yeah.
They lost by 73 points earlier in the season. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, you guys said the sky was falling.
It was. But
no, it wasn't. They've it was turned it around game. Since their ass then. Is kicked. What do you want?
Well, I want them to try. The players that they have put together are obviously playing above their heads. I mean, not playing above their heads. Are achieving more than we expected them to. Josh Giddey, no one expected him to be this good, mm-hmm. this early. So they are doing exactly what Thunder fans want. Making respectable losses happen. That's what they want. We glossed over what the Rockets did against the Suns. They had an incredible game to take the Suns down to the wire.
Yep.
This team was even more discombobulated earlier this season. People wondering what the hell is going on with Kevin Porter Jr. and the blow-ups and Christian Wood and things are just going to go awry. I mean, they fought. They like each other there. They continue to have great, respectable losses. They want to have their draft pick, too. So those two teams, it's a good, crappy season for both of them.
So there you go. We just touched on all 11 games from last night, but there's one more game still to talk about, and we'll get to that after this break.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We never got the ending to that story. Did you find a pair of fantastic rubber gloves dishwashing gloves, as you call them?
Yes, I did.
Washing up gloves.
Washing up gloves. Sorry. Yeah, two for one. Two for one, I got. So a BOGO, no, if you like.
It's good you got two gloves.
Yeah. Trying to just wash with one hand.
Well, you know, be because difficult. then you sort of use them for then when you're cleaning, like, the bathrooms and things like that. So, you know, you still use the gloves there. You don't want all those chemicals on your hands.
I love it. All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Trey Kirby tweeted tonight, my man.
Yeah, it's an Instagram.
All right.
Yeah.
Social media event of the night.
Yeah, true.
This was an event. I'm glad we got to 50,000 subscribers. And Skeets, I'm glad you said you wanted to go under 50,000 because this might do it.
Oh.
It's the No Dunks boys.
Oh, yeah.
Playing pickup basketball together.
Yeah.
First time on the court in... As a foursome in
wow
at least a couple of years.
Yeah it's at been least a minute. 2 years, maybe yeah. three.
So there's the four of us and Kelvin.
Kelvin really wanted in this photo. That was my favorite part.
Yeah, that's the guy that dove on my head 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
So Lee photo directed this. This is Instagram, us looking cool and tough, as he said.
Yeah.
But this is reality. Us
yeah.
cooked in the lane.
Yeah.
That was reality by the end of the night.
Oh, yeah.
The boys were tired.
The boys were tired. A couple of things surprised me last night.
Yeah.
Lee and Tash showing up wearing the same headwear.
That was
a shocker.
We should have led the show with this. This is more important than DeMar DeRozan.
We read the same Amazon reviews. For
yeah. Well, BOGO.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a surprise to see you both rocking, like, I don't know, it's almost like a tennis headband.
Yeah
think, big time.
Right? Yeah.
They're versatile. You can make them thinner, but you can spread them out.
I actually thought you both looked cool, so props to you on both of that. I'll also say, surprising, Lee, very chatty on the court last night. This man was calling out defensive coverages.
You know why? Do you know why? He didn't have his mouth guard in.
Oh.
That's why.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a peep when he's got the mouth guard in, because he can't.
Well, and I did try to... I had the mouth guard, but I haven't used it for so long. I put it in and it was a little bit wonky.
Oh,
so I put it back in the boiling water last night to try to like loosen it up, put it back in, couldn't quite get the fix right. So I chucked
it out. Do you use your rubber gloves when you're doing
this? No, but I went to Amazon to look, so I've ordered a new one. It's coming soon.
That's the last we'll hear of Mark on defensive
orders.
Yeah,
hopefully should be there for next Wednesday night, but... Wasn't it just great to be out on the court again? I mean, I think that was also great, part of it. Like,
it was an honor to switch every possession. Yeah. That's all he kept saying. Switch, switch.
Yeah. I gotcha. I gotcha.
He was even calling offensive calls, though. Trey was kind of trapped in the corner, and I was not really coming to the ball. He's like, Tessie, go get it. Go get it. Go get that ball.
Oh, and my favorite part of the night, stealing rebounds from Trey Kirby.
Unbelievable stuff.
You were Russell Westbrook on the boards last night, taking away Stephen Adams' boards. I loved it.
I'm just saying, having not played, you miss it so much. Like, give me that. I need to feel that leather, you know?
You played the best out of the four of us, I'd say. The jumper was falling last night.
I thought, you know, if we were playing again tonight, though, I would have been on the injury reporter's questionable hydration issues. Woke up this morning a little dry in the old throat. Bit of a headache.
Oh, really? You didn't drink enough water? Yeah.
No, and I was pounding water. But woke up this morning, I was like, wow, this is like a hangover without drinking alcohol.
The hoops hangover.
Yeah.
Get you some athletic greens. My favorite comment of the night, we ran some sort of fast break. I just ran to the corner because it was not involving me at all. I was like, I'm not, this play is not for me. We scored. I think it was you, Skeets, jogging up the court. Nice spacing.
It was, man.
I didn't get in the way.
It didn't get in the lane. It's important. Let the guys run the lanes.
I was like, that's some good chemistry right there. All right, I'll just trap down to the corner. Yeah, I'm helping out. You guys handle space over here.
I thought we actually, when we played together, the ball was zipping around a bit.
Yeah, I can't. We lost the first game.
We were up.
I got a three splashed in my eye by Santos. He was.
We outplayed them. The three ball.
The three ball was
ruined the game. It's ruined the game.
It's ruining the game because we don't shoot any except for him. Oh, great to be back out there.
Yeah.
We'll see you on Wednesday again?
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
Okay,
good.
There
was one time I did grab a rebound, and you're like, come on, let's go! I'm like, just let me grab the rebound first.
Oh, Jesus, come on! I'm seeing the advantage.
I know you are.
Ahead of you, let's go.
It's not, you know, you can't trigger that fast break like you used to, you know? You just want to keep possession of the ball first.
There's two different styles. There was the fast break, and then there was the Calvin, actually, who would get a rebound and say, all right, we're going to check up. He just did.
He just would not
dribble the ball from the other side.
I love when that starts happening, when people are like, no, we're not bringing it up. We'll just check it up there. We didn't have a lot of subs last night, so we're getting pretty tired pretty quickly. So good to be out there. Okay, pick 'em results from last night. Jazz Lakers game. Utah was favored by 4.5. We had a couple of us, Tass and I, going with the Lakers, and of course, they hit the money line for us. So Tass gets a much needed win. He's 4-8. I improved to 9-3. Lee and Trey had the Jazz, so Lee's 8-4, and Trey's 5-7, so Tass one game back here. This is crazy after your brutal start to February. You're within striking distance of this guy.
I thought you were trying to lose all these.
Yeah,
me too. Don't worry, I'll take care of that tonight. I went a little crazy tonight. It's a 5-game schedule. I'm looking forward to the schedule tonight, actually. 76ers, Bucks, the big one on TNT. We're not picking that one, but there's some other good ones. Heat, Hornets, two teams you want to watch. Even the Rockets-Clippers, I think it's going to be an evenly matched basketball game. Wizards and Nets, hey, the Nets want to take a 3-game win streak into the All-Star break here. The last one, the Mavericks and Pelicans. Now, that's the one we're picking. Mavericks coming off a very good win over the Miami Heat. The Pelicans coming off a loss. So the Pelicans are getting 2.5 points at home, and you guys taking the Mavs because they're playing so well. All three of you, I'm riding the Pels at home just because to lose by two or less. They should bounce back, but who knows? The Mavs are playing so well after the Kristaps Porzingis trade with the one-game experiment of Dinwiddie and Bertans coming off the bench. They're playing really, really well.
All right, so Taz taking the Pels. Got a couple points to play with. Everybody else taking the Mavs to win by 3 points or more. Let's call it there. One more show this week. But then we got the watch party on Saturday night for the All-Star Night festivities. We'll get that started 10 minutes before 15 minutes before 8:00 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. But tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, live right back here in the Classic Factory with the Drop Podcast. We got to make some All-Star Saturday night predictions. So we can do that on tomorrow's show. Maybe we'll hit the beach. We'll obviously recap the 5 games on tonight and maybe some questions as we head into the All-Star break. Can't wait for that. email in your questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Get yourself that Athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. And thank you to everybody that did subscribe today. Shout out to all our new subscribers and our OGs. 50,000 subs. You love to see it. We thought we would do it on Saturday night, but instead happens here on a Thursday morning, and we ain't mad at it. Till tomorrow, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, treat every day as if you have 49,999 subscribers.
Embrace the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.